On this moving occasion, it was Princess Margaret's privilege to represent Her Majesty the Queen. And as always, when such duty falls to her, she now performed it with a grace and dignity befitting the responsibility. In their places for the inauguration sat the 66 members of the Senate and House of Representatives. Visitors included the papal envoy and dignitaries from independent African states. It now fell to the Prime Minister to receive from the Queen's representative the constitutional instruments of Jamaican independence and to convey to the Princess the speech from the throne, in which the Queen congratulated all who had guided Jamaica to her new status and expressed hope in the nation's future progress and prosperity. The Prime Minister's address of thanks was seconded by the leader of the opposition, Mr. Norman Manley. The first session of Parliament of Independent Jamaica was opened. It followed the pattern of Westminster, the mother of parliaments, from which democracy has spread and flowered in so many lands. 300 years of British government had come to an end, and peacefully, one more nation had been helped to achieve its yearning for self-government. All wish well to the happy people of independent Jamaica.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the History Hotline. I'm your host, Deanna Lincook, and I'd like to first and foremost start off by saying Happy Independence Day to the greatest nation on planet Earth. Yes, you heard that correctly. It is Jamaica Independence Day today, and as you'll hear from the clip, the changeover from Britain, the mother of parliament and the beacon of democracy, to the happy people of Jamaica happened 62 years ago to this day. And I wasn't necessarily going to do this episode on Jamaican independence, and I'm not, it's not really the focus. However, I just thought it was an interesting clip, the Pathé newsreel from 1962, August 6th, that talks about the kind of changeover from Jamaica that has been governed by Britain for hundreds of years to this newly independent nation following suit in this like early 1960s period, where a lot of countries that were formerly colonized by Britain are getting their independence and finding themselves governing themselves, you know, putting in their own choices of flags and national anthems and things of that nature that kind of signify and mark the start of the cultural and political traditions of said independent nation. And thinking about that in the context of today, of being in Britain as a person of Jamaican descent in 2024, and what that means when the far right is essentially marching in cities across the country, vandalizing places, burning down hotels, burning libraries, causing chaos, destruction, fear, intimidation. And it's not really being called out in a way, I think anyway, that it should be by those in power, and linked back to those political elites, to the media that have stoked these racial tensions and poked these fires for decades, essentially. This is not something new. This is kind of the bubbling up of a cauldron that's been filled for a very long time. And so this episode is going to be a bit of a mixed bag. I'm going to be thinking about what's happening in the country now, not just with these, I don't know why they're called protests, they don't look like protests to me, what the far right and their beliefs and the kind of class elements that I feel like are going a little bit unspoken about, and the concerns that these people have in wanting to take to the streets and how they're actually nothing to do with immigrants or Muslims or black people or Asian people. And they're all to do with a class system that has been exploited by those in power for a very long time. We'll also be thinking about the situation at Goldsmiths University, which, if you don't know, is in fact home or was or might not be any longer, home to the world's first and only MA in queer history and the UK's first taught MA in black British history. Both MAs are absolutely groundbreaking. They are so unique. And they have supported so many students that want to do research in areas that are quite underserved in the higher education sector, in history departments and otherwise across other universities. Conveners of these courses, lecturers on these courses, have been given a notice that they might be made redundant in the upcoming days, weeks, months. These courses may cease to exist, and there are currently petitions and ways you can support what is happening there, and, you know, try and appeal to the sense of leaders at that institution to think about what these courses mean to people, how important they are. And it's just so interesting that, you know, these things are happening now with the far right, and I tie a lack of education to a lot of the views that we're seeing come out, especially those that are so racist and Islamophobic, and what courses like this might be able to do for the next generation of young people wanting to study these things, or older people as well. You can do further study whenever you like in life. But it's interesting that these things, as much as they might seem completely disconnected, are so, so connected, and are all happening within the kind of same system where Black history is being beaten down. The history of any minoritized group is being beaten down. It's being said it's not important. It's the same conversation we were having last summer, if you listen to the episodes I did with Professor Hakeem Addy, that was made redundant at Chichester, and the MA in African history and history of the African diaspora was cut. It's the same thing. It's within the same system. And even though we've had a change in government, you know, a lot of the policies that were created and a lot of the environments that were created by the former government are still in place. You know, even though government changes, people's opinions and some of the wheels and the cogs that are already turning won't stop. They'll continue. So we find ourselves in this situation in August 2024 where these courses that were seen as so progressive and a step forward are being threatened. You know, our place as Black people, as minoritized people in society, is being threatened with violence. You know, it's a very interesting time. And I wanted to use this episode to kind of talk a little bit about the situation, but also think about what that kind of means in the current political climate. And before I go any further, I will say, you know, be safe out there. There are a lot of different groups that are working to cause chaos, to bring violence to the streets. And, you know, they've labelled certain cities that they're going to or they've been to, they're going to target. You know, if you see a place that you live or family members, loved ones live, please be very careful. There are obviously counter movements and counter protests happening, and I am in complete support of those. But please, whatever your action you are going to take, please be careful, be safe. Welcome to the History Hotline, a direct line to a better understanding of all things Black history and beyond. Now, before we get into the absolute madness that is the far right, the EDL, Reform, or whoever else they call themselves on English streets in 2024, even though it's actually not that crazy because, you know, you can see, if you follow the signs, you can see that this was something like this was coming. It was all going to come to a head soon. Also, if you're not from the UK, you're not from England, or like me, you just hadn't been watching the news for a while, and, you know, got messages like, oh, be careful today, be safe. I was like, what? Be safe because of what? And then here we are. The far right are burning British streets in the name of Britain, that is. So before we get into that, I have an ad break, I guess. I want to plug some History Hotline events. We've got two dates in the diary, two dates that should absolutely be in your diary if they're not already in there. The first one is a Black History quiz on the 17th of August, 2024, and that will be at Buster Mantis in Deptford at 5:30 p.m. Now, you might be listening to this and it might have gone past the 17th of August, which is a shame if it is. But if it's not and you haven't got your tickets yet, do get a ticket. You might be thinking, oh, I've just started listening, or I don't know if I remember all the episodes you've ever done and all the information and knowledge you've shared with me over the past 4 years. That is okay. The questions are not, they're not going to be crazy. I am writing the quiz questions. Yes, I am indeed. And I am doing a PhD in history and have been studying these topics for a long time. But I am also very aware of, you know, a normal understanding and level of history, Black, British and Caribbean history. It will be Black, British history. It won't be Caribbean history. For the most part, there will be a round that kind of contains political, civil rights, activism, that kind of history. Then there will be a kind of guess who round. So we'll be looking at some important people and figures, definitely people that we've talked about on this podcast before. So if you know, if you're in the winning mood and you want to swat up, then you can do that. There are 139 other episodes. But, you know, you also only have 11 days, so we'll see. There will also be amazing prizes. We have some incredible sponsors for the event, of whom I'm not going to name all of them today, because if I do that, I'll probably forget some. But there are over 15 prizes from a variety of companies, alcohol companies, hair care companies, craft companies, and, you know, people that specialize in like arts and posters and greeting cards and things like that. Experiences, whether they're alcoholic, comedy show based, activities like golf and things like that. So there are so many prizes, and the food and drink at Bustamante's is incredible. Their rum punch is sensational, and I would say it's in my top three rum punches of all time, which my mom takes top spot. So the fact that, you know, it's even up there says a lot. So I hope to see you down there on the 17th of August 2024. And for the second event, that will be the first ever live podcast episode for the History Hotline on the 15th of September 2024. It's a really good thing I'm good with dates. There's just so many dates. 15th of September, which is a Sunday. It's at 2 p.m. And it's going to be in King's Cross. It's part of the London Podcast Festival, and it is going to be, it's going to be really fun. I'm really excited. Doing a podcast live will be very interesting, because I do most of the podcasts, as you mostly know, in my bedroom, normally in my pajamas. So actually being outside on a stage, you know, dressed in outside clothes, talking to you all live will be amazing. I'm looking forward to meeting so many of you there. Tickets are for sale on the London Podcast Festival website. All of these links for tickets for this and the quiz will be in the bio. So please do come along, get your tickets. Don't leave it till the last minute. These things sell out, and I wouldn't want you to miss out on any of the fun. So if these events sound like a bit of you, do not hesitate, get your tickets, more information in the bio, send me a message if you have any questions about any of them, and I look forward to meeting you all very soon.
What is it that you wanted to protest against?
Basically all the boats coming in, all the immigrants coming in, causing problem, causing grief. That's what I'm protest about, that's what I'm fed up of, really.
Which people are you thinking of when you go on these protests?
Asians.
Asians?
Yeah.
Right, so all Asians are who you're thinking of when you think of the people causing all the problems, all the immigrants?
Asians and black people.
Right. So you drove from Harlow in Essex to Middlesbrough to protest against black people and Asian people? Basically all non-white people, is what you're saying.
Yeah, because they're the main issue.
All non-white people are the main issue?
Well, from what I'm seeing.
What are you seeing? Because from where 99.9% of the rest of the country is seeing, all black people and all Asian people are not the issue, Gary.
Well, from what I'm seeing, from the problems that's going on, from South, look at Southport, look at the Manchester Airport incident, you know, who's starting all the grief?
Who, and the colour of their skin is what you think is the main driver of that?
well, they don't know any order. They don't have any order.
And who's so, they? Sorry, the they is, again, all black people and all Asian people. And the black people and the Asian people who you come into contact with in Harlow, do you accuse them of being as apparently violent as the people that you've seen being violent who also have that skin colour?
No.
So it's not all black and Asian people then, is it?
Now, there are so many clips I could have selected of people that identify as being part of the far-right movement, of being unhappy with the state of the country and blaming immigrants, small boats, black people, Asian people, the government, the media, whoever they're blaming. I mean, in this context, it was specifically immigrants and Asian and black people. And this clip is taken from Tom Swarbrick's show on LBC. And it was put on Twitter on the 5th of August 2024, just for context if you're listening to this a little bit later on, following this episode being posted. And I will say there's a lot of clips, as I said, that I could have used. And there are a lot of kind of people that are speaking about this from the far right that I just would never platform. And this gentleman, obviously, if you want to know his name or more about his story, that clip does extend on that show. You can do that, but I'm not really going to name and platform these people. But this clip was quite a nice one in the sense of the interviewer was really trying to understand the motivations behind those who, in this case as well, have travelled across the country to go and protest, starting with protest in Southport and up north, and they are gradually moving. There is a like leaked WhatsApp message that's come out that suggests that they'll be arriving. I don't know who will be arriving. The far right will be arriving in London in a few boroughs on Wednesday, the 7th of August, 2024. Again, just giving full dates for context. But, you know, as these quote unquote protests, as they're being labelled, but in my mind, they're just, I don't know what they are. They're just excuses for violence and uprising and riots. And I don't know, all the ones that they label any kind of movement of black people, marginalised people, is that. This is actually what this is. Domestic terrorism, whatever you want to label it, but the burning down of buildings, beating people up in the streets, fighting police. I've seen a clip of a man fighting a police dog. Like, what did the police dog do to you? I just think that, you know, what is happening right now is A, insane, B, a symptom of issues that this demographic of people have because of their class, because they are, for the most part, or in some cases anyway, working class, I don't want to generalise, and are struggling. There's no doubt about it. In many cases, financially, economically, like a lot of other working class people that aren't white, are also struggling too. We're in a cost of living crisis, we're post-COVID, we've just had a change in government, things are very uncertain. But instead of blaming the people in power whose wealth has tripled and doubled and times by hundreds during the pandemic and the years that have followed, the media, the corporations, the 1%, they are blaming immigrants and those who are probably actually economically speaking, in a worse position than them. And it's interesting, there have been comments made about the way that the police are policing, and some people are of this demographic are arguing that the police are being too tough on them, and they were more lenient to black people when they protest. Loads of comparisons to the Black Lives Matter movement, which I don't even understand how people are fixing their lips to talk about Black Lives Matter at a moment like this. Also comparisons with the Palestine, Free Palestine protests that have occurred over the last few months. Again, I don't know how people are even making comparisons to that. I feel like I've watched a few clips where it seems, and that's all I can say, it seems as though the police are standing by, watching violence occur and doing very little. I've also seen scenes where they are being beaten and attacked and are obviously trying to do as much as they can to keep their officers safe. So I won't even pass judgment on policing. I say enough about the London Metropolitan Police to last us all a lifetime, so I won't in this context. But I think it's interesting that there is a lot of comparison being done. And the comparison I want to make, if we're comparing, is actually to the Battle of Lewisham, or what was labelled as the Battle of Lewisham, that happened a few decades ago, but essentially is very similar to this kind of moment we're in. August, again, 13th of August, actually, 1977, the National Front, as they were then, the far-right then group were called, organised a march from New Cross to Catford. And I think episode 53 is on this if you want to read more, listen to more. The All Lewisham Campaign Against Racism and Fascism, which is shortened to ALCARAF. It might not be ALCARAF, it might be the ALCARAF, but I'm calling it ALCARAF, and I called it ALCARAF in the last episode I did on it. They decided to do a counter-protest, and so on the morning the National Front were marching, and then ALCARAF were doing a counter-march, and the police weren't able to kind of divert the two groups so that they didn't meet on the route. They did meet on the route by the afternoon. There was an attempt to reroute groups. It didn't happen. And violent clashes continued in Lewisham Town Centre as the counter-demonstrators clashed with the police, and National Front was obviously within the clashes as well. National Front abandoned the march after a while and were escorted out of the area, but then the counter-demonstrators had obviously clashed with police too. And it was the first time on British mainland that the police deployed large, rigid plastic riot shields that would become what is defined as a kind of real marking point of law and order in the 80s. And it's the same plastic riot shields you're seeing in scenes where the far right are today in August 2024. So, you know, comparisons I would love to be made are to the Battle of Lewisham, if anything. And it will be interesting but also actually quite terrifying to see if they develop, how they develop. I really do hope and pray for people's safety. I really hope these people see sense, because I think at the end of the day, no good is going to come out of this. Like, we all know that there is no positive to come out of this level of violence. Maybe it might get people to stand up and understand how racist Britain is. It's something I've said from the very beginning. This is why things like this aren't very shocking, because this place has been a racist place from the beginning of time, and very little has changed. It's just a different group of people that wear that racist cap and wear it loudly and proudly. Some people wear the cap quietly. And here we are. We have the far right marching on the streets in 2024. I'm not going to say too much more about that. I'm sure we're all watching it unfold on our screens. I just really, really want to reiterate that please stay safe. And if you don't know what's happening, then this one is for the news outlets to report on. So tune in. There are a variety of different levels of reporting on it, from on the ground reporting, although I am aware that journalists and like journalist equipment, press trucks are being attacked as well. So, you know, what that reporting will look like as we move forward will be interesting as well. But as I said, this doesn't happen and come from nowhere. This comes within a context of the time whereby there are so many loud, proud, platformed people that are attacking kind of any kind of diversity, any kind of marginalised group that are not even achieving something, but just doing something that doesn't really seem to sit with what the far right demands Britain should look like. I watched a clip of a man saying that he was marching because Britain doesn't look the way it used to. And his example of one of those things that had changed was the fact that there were not enough pubs, so there was nothing to do. And he was outside of a pub saying this with a pint in his hand, and you might have seen that clip. But it's just interesting how the way that society is changing, which is natural. I think the society in every country on the planet is changing in some way. As we move forward in life, we become a more globalised population. Immigration is a thing. Whether you like it or not, we as Black people, as Asian people, as people from Africa, as people from the wider Commonwealth, from all the countries of the world, we are here for the most part, especially coming from Commonwealth countries, we are here because you were there. By you, we mean Britain. You colonised our lands. You created political instability, economic instability. You created, disrupted the natural resources. You moved people around in the name of profit when it came to the transatlantic slave trade. And then you wonder why we find ourselves here today when our homes, our ancestral homes, are devoid of any kind of profit or opportunity for us. So I say all that to say, you know, this isn't happening out of nowhere. There is a long historical context to it that I'm sure you are fully aware of as a listener of this podcast. But one other pressing issue I wanted to talk about on this episode today was the situation at Goldsmiths. And a very dear lecturer to me, Dr. Kesawa John, is being faced with redundancy because they have decided to threaten the MA in Black British History. And it really is a one-of-its-kind course. I think I said it before, if I'd known, or if the course was running when I did my master's, or slash if I'd known the course was running, I think it's a little bit after me doing a master's, it is something I would have definitely taken. It's like, you know, younger me's dream to do a whole master's solely in Black British History. And, you know, the work that Dr. John has done at Goldsmiths in the short time that she's had post there, in, you know, lecturing on the undergrad modules and bringing the right people in to speak on different topics and to give lectures and to make sure the students are having the most kind of well-rounded and broad education when it comes to Black British history has been phenomenal. And it is such a shame that her and other colleagues and the MA in Black Queer History as well is being threatened. It's, again, a symptom of this pushback, this, I think anyway, invented culture war that is happening whereby, you know, those in power don't like changes that are happening within society, even though a lot of us would argue it's progress, it's change for the better. And the threats of these courses really come at an interesting time, you know, only 4 years after this 2020 moment where so many promises and pledges were made to increasing the provision of Black British history in schools and universities. And this kind of pledge by so many people to really take racism seriously and to be anti-racist and be actively pushing back against those that are racist and the systems that are in place. Yet here we are with the far right marching on British streets and this course being threatened. If you would like to help to support the cause when it comes to this, there is a petition that you can sign. I'll put the link in the bio. You can also email management at Goldsmiths University if you would like to do that. I will retweet things on the History Hotline Twitter and on Instagram as well, as I have been. So, you know, have a look at the tweets. There are so many kind of actionable things you can do. But I will leave information in the show notes, as well as information on live show tickets and quiz tickets, if those are things that also interest you. This kind of episode was a bit of a call to action. Here are some of my thoughts that are going through my head. Also, an apology for a lack of episodes over the past few weeks, from the hurricane in Jamaica to coming back and being unwell. There's just been a whole plethora of things that have happened. I will be taking a break from episodes over the summer, or what's left of the summer, and I will be back with the first episode of our kind of, I guess it's not really a new season, I just carry the numbers on, but the next episode will be out on the 27th of August 2024, so 3 weeks off. I hope in that time, you know, you catch up on any episodes that you've missed, or you can see me out in the real world, because I'll be at the quiz and the live show. And also, I think there will be some changes when we return on the 27th of August. So stay tuned for some changes that will be coming in regards to this podcast as we step into, I think, kind of, it feels like the fourth, like, era of the History Hotline as it approaches its fourth year. But thank you so much for listening to this episode. If there is anything in this episode that you'd like to talk more about, please don't hesitate to reach out on social media or via email. All information that you would need to contact the podcast is in the show notes. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a wonderful week. Goodbye.